The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, for before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come up since the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, verse chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's interesting, or at least to me it's interesting, what other time periods found popular. The Oxford Book of Carols, this is Ethel Louise's copy, is a collection of popular English songs starting roughly with Chaucer and stretching to the dawn of the 20th century. It records a note about a carol that I want to ponder for a second. An incident related by Baring Gould. You're supposed to know who that is. Ethel would have known. I had to Google him. He was an American, or an Anglican scholar, priest, and polymath of the old type. Also the writer of Onward Christian Soldiers. Baring Gould in 1865 was teaching carols to a party of mill girls in West Riding, It's the north of England, away from the sea in London. And amongst them was the cherry tree carol. When they burst out, "Nay, we know that one a great deal better," and lifting up their voices, they sang. That cherry tree carol that those mill girls knew better than the surprised cleric has a sprightly melody that I can't give you with my voice, but you can Google it at home and hear it for yourselves with much better singers. But its words are refreshingly honest and playful. You can't help but enjoy it, even if they convey some bad theology. Joseph was an old man, and old man was he when he wedded Mary in the land of Galilee. Joseph and Mary walked through an orchard green, where cherries and berries as red as any blood, where cherries and berries as thick as might be seen. "Oh, then," bespoke Mary, with words so meek and mild, "pluck me one cherry, Joseph, for I am with child." "Oh, then," bespoke Joseph, with an answer most unkind, "let him pluck thee a cherry that brought thee now with child." "Oh, then," bespoke the baby within his mother's womb, "bow down the tallest tree for my mother to have some." Then bowed down the highest tree unto his mother's hand. Then she cried, "See, Joseph, I have cherries at command." It's cute. It's a fun carol to sing. The basic story in that carol actually comes from a Gnostic apocryphal work, the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew, sometimes called the Infancy Gospel of Matthew. It's a 6th century work, not by the Apostle Matthew. And the cherry in that one is a fig. It has been morphed as it moved from the Middle East to Northern England. Being kind, it's kind of a fan fiction on the Bible. And like most fan fiction, it takes the characters from the original, subtracts their charm and nuance and soul, and adds a simplistic moral with a witty meanness. That simplistic moral and witty meanness are inherent weaknesses of being sinners, I think. We jump to conclusions all the time. We make assumptions that if we had bothered to ask, would be revealed as false. We're quick to rush to judgment on those assumptions. And along the way to judgment, we want justice, and we'll take a certain amount of revenge along with it. And it's all based upon the assumption that the will of God is clearly evident, and that the will of God is primarily about evening the scales, or keeping the moral calculus in balance. In other words, we're all born legalists. But the actual Gospel of Matthew and the cherry tree carol deal with the same problem. Mary is pregnant. And we all, including Joseph, know how pregnancy happens. But the story of the canonical gospel and that carol diverge there. In the carol, Joseph's answer is a petulant passive-aggressiveness. It's an interesting question. If we were to take Joseph being petulant against God, "I didn't sign up for this, you take care of it," or as a lingering doubt, But in the gospel, Joseph isn't passive aggressive. He's a righteous man tempered with mercy. The righteousness of Leviticus would have Mary stoned. But Joseph decides on a quiet divorce, which is the mercy that the prophets often called for. Joseph's answer to Mary being pregnant is exactly what the entire tradition of the law and the prophets would have demanded. Joseph's answer is the correct one according to the Jewish religion. God's way of the gospel is not always so simple. In the carol, Joseph's judgment is turned back around upon him. The baby within the womb calls out to the tree to give mom the requested chariot. It's a simple, direct act of power. And Mary, with words not quite so meek and mild, gets her little dig in at Joseph. See, Joseph, cherries at command. It's funny, and it's recognizable, but it's not built to gain converts. The next time in carol world that Mary would ask Joseph for something, my guess is Joseph would be likely to reply, "Ask the belly," since he seems to be so obliging. The carol is the world that I think we would naturally make. Dramatic, simple proof that we couldn't refute with a side of karma. Here's the mean one back at you, Joseph. But that's not how God works. Direct power and karma. God works by faith and sacrificial grace. Joseph, resolved to divorce her quietly, decides to sleep on it for a night, and in his dreams, he sees an angel. And the angel tells him, "Don't fear, take Mary. It's not what you think. This child is from the Holy Spirit. You will call him Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." You tell me, when was the last time that you did something based upon a dream that you had last night? The carol takes away Joseph's agency. The gospel invites Joseph into God's. Joseph, this is happening, and I've got a role for you, if you desire the things that God desires, if you're willing to align your will with God's. There's no bending of a cherry tree here. There's no voice from a womb. There isn't even a waking encounter with the angel. There's simply the promise and the invitation. This one will save his people. Don't be afraid to take Mary. It's not an easy request by any means. If Joseph does as the dream says, he'll never live it down. Mark's gospel, in what is often taken as a sly insult, has the village elders of Nazareth call Jesus Mary's son. Joseph, if he does this, will be bucking the law and all common sense and everything that an old man knows naturally. But he'll be doing it for the promise. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Is Joseph willing to extend sacrificial grace to Mary, to carry this child along with her? Is Joseph, the son of David, willing to bear the shame purely on faith? When he woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord told him. We think we want law and karma. We think we want those equations of the cosmos to balance and the direct power of God to make everything plain. But God offers us something different. The infinite carried in that finite womb. The eternal by a young virgin. A king whose throne is a cross. An invitation to that cross today for the promise of the resurrection tomorrow. God invites us into his sacrificial grace. It's a kingdom not of this world, but it's here anyway. God is going to build it. Brick by holy living brick. He knew you before all time. He claimed you while you were still knit together in your mother's womb. He sealed you in that baptism, and he still gives of himself in his body and blood. The kingdom is happening. The king, Emmanuel, is coming. Will you call him Jesus? Are you part of the people that he has saved from their sins? We're all Joseph, called to accept something that will never live down in this world. Do we want the world? Or do we want Jesus? The will of God is not law and karma, but grace and faith. The will of God is not to bind you to take away your agency, but to free you, to be part of his kingdom. Will you call his name Jesus? Amen.